Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21, titled, Not Rich Toward God. This message was presented during our annual Christmas in July, so you may recognize some references to that fact as you listen. If you have any other questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those to our email address, bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also send a letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And you can also donate at bbfohio.com. And now we begin with a current events update, and then our study in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21, titled, Not Rich Toward God. This is part one of two.
Our current events update. Headline reviews in the news. Number one, the march to the mark of the beast continues. This is from Chick Publications. They have their own little magazine. It's mostly online now, but they had this headline, France takes another step towards the mark. One more verification of the Bible's accuracy surfaced recently in France. And that's why I always emphasize a lot of what you're seeing in current events updates, it's not to tell you to do something about it. If you can, you should. You should always do what's right. But a lot of times what we're seeing are things that are out of our control, but it's to remind you God is in control. Yeah. It's to remind you that even though these things are crazy and can even be scary on a human level, nothing to fear. God's in control. He has already told us these things are going to happen. So it builds our faith in this book because that's how we know what God's told us. So President Emmanuel Macron announced a tightening of the health pass. That sound French? That way I said that? Emmanuel Macron. Oui, oui, señor. No, that's señor. That's Spanish. So, yeah. So this health pass is what they're calling it. We're calling them, what do we call it over here? Vaccine passports. Yeah. They're calling it a health pass. Issued to those who have taken the COVID-19 vaccine. If not vaccinated, then they are required to show proof of a recent, taken within 48 hours, negative COVID-19 test. Folks, I mean, that is a preliminary step toward the mark of the beast where you can't buy, sell, or trade without that mark. In this case, it's not the mark of the beast, and there are some people out there saying that, and that's not true, but it's setting the stage for the mark of the beast. And as we see the stage being set for the mark of the beast, you know that the coming of the Lord is soon. Christmas in July is kind of out of the ordinary, but when you come down to these days in September, when you see the Christmas stuff going up in the stores in September, well, then you know Thanksgiving's getting close, right? See, that's how this thing works. The Bible doesn't say that there's a sign that the rapture is about to happen, but there are signs of the second coming. And you know when you see the signs for the second coming that you know the rapture is coming close. And so that's this thing with the mark of the beast. And they're going to control where you go, and eventually it's going to be what you buy and sell. And they're already talking about punishing people in some countries and taking away bank accounts. And so you aren't going to be able to buy, sell, or trade without a vaccine. So that's setting the stage for the mark of the beast, where you won't be able to buy, sell, or trade without that. Now, the difference is, if you take the COVID vaccine, that's not the same as the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast, when you take that mark, it is an act of allegiance and worship of the devil and his false Christ. And you will knowingly be acknowledging him as deity when you take the mark of the beast. But this is all set in the stage. And the Chick article began with this matter of fact. What do you do in the midst of the hurricane of fake news? The best thing to do is to go to the only history/prophecy book proven accurate over the millennia, the Book of Revelation. And, of course, there's a lot more than just the Book of Revelation, but that's a good bit of advice. Headline number two, the Cleveland Indians are now the Guardians. or at least the end of this year, they're going to change everything over to the Guardians. And Ball Club announced the name change Friday, and that's, I guess, what's going to be on the front of their jerseys and everything. Ending months of discussions triggered by a national reckoning by institutions and teams to drop logos and names considered racist. Well, what most of what's called racist today isn't racist. As a matter of fact, for most left-wingers, all you have to do is tell them you disagree with them, and they'll say, you're racist. What, for disagreeing with you? Yeah. When you say that Islam is a false religion, well, that's racist. Islam isn't a race. It's a religion, and it's true. Islam is a false religion. It's not racist. But this is the story behind the name of Indians. Meet Louis Sakalexis, the first Native American pro baseball player said to be inspiration for the Cleveland Indians. When the team was called the Cleveland Spiders back 1890, 1899, a couple of you were in high school back then, it signed Louis Sakalexis, a member of the Penobscot tribe, who quickly ascended to stardom, earning the team the nickname Indians. According to the Society for American Baseball Research, that's fact, history. Soon after being signed by the Cleveland Spiders in early 1897, Sakalexis wowed local sports writers who began referring to the team as the Indians. And by the end of March that year, the name Spiders was virtually forgotten.
You could have mentioned Spiders.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, because then people would find out about this.
Yeah.
I have no idea. So, Louis Sakalexis, canceled by the liberal leftist mob. And that bit is a tribute. It wasn't racist. It was a tribute to him. Now, they called the mascot, what was his name?
Chief Wahoo.
Because people would have might have thought it was racist to call him Chief Louie, you know. But look, Chief Wahoo, it even looks like Louie. If you remember Chief Wahoo, the little mascot, even looks like it. But see, that's what these people... This isn't about racism, folks. It's about Marxism. It's about totally getting rid of everything that you stand for, everything your country stands for. That's why the Black Lives Matter and Antifa crowd, they're not just tearing down any white supremacist in reality. They were tearing down Abe Lincoln statues. They're tearing down George Washington statues. I mean, it didn't matter. And that's what this is all about, so everybody's got to wake up to what's going on in reality in this country. And finally, headline number three, the communist agenda via COVID continues. Local COVID-19 mandates, local COVID-19 vaccine mandates are likely following full FDA authorization. Now, listen closely. This would seem to violate the Nuremberg Code, right? Some of you know the Nuremberg Code. The Nuremberg Code was developed after World War II because of what the Nazis did. And so this is a screenshot, by the way, copy and paste. The Nuremberg Code, 1947, it was written about permissible medical experiments. It says the great weight of the evidence before us to effect that certain types of medical experiments on human beings, when kept within reasonably well-defined bounds, conform to the ethics of the medical profession generally. In other words, they're saying there is a way to do these experiments, and not all experimentation's bad. But then there's 10 points, by the way. And the first point in the Nuremberg Code says the voluntary consent of the human subject is absolutely essential. In other words, if you don't want the vaccine, you don't have to take it.
Amen.
But here's the game they play. See, Satan always plays with words. That's how Satan always works, and his children do too. This means that the person involved should have legal capacity to give consent, should be so situated as to be able to exercise free power of choice without the intervention of any element of force, fraud, deceit, duress, overreaching, or other ulterior form of constraint or coercion. I think that makes it pretty clear, right?
Yeah.
So here's what they're going to do. The plan, evidently, is for the FDA to declare approval of the COVID vaccination and then declare that the Nuremberg Code does not apply, wow, as it is no longer experimental. Wow. See the game? But see, here's the thing. Those of us who do our homework know that that still doesn't cut mustard. Amen. According to the Christian Post, Andy Slavitt said he believes the vaccine could become mandatory in some places once one or more of the three vaccines authorized by the FDA for emergency use get full approval from the agency. Again, language matters. Not fully tested, just full approval. That's just a rubber stamp, and there's always money involved. This is the same guy, works for the Biden's administration. I think once the vaccines go through full FDA approval, again, not full testing, everything should be on the table, and I think that everything will be on the table at the level of municipalities, states, employers, venues, government agencies, etc. Now, note this. This is how they always work, folks. They've suspended the Constitution by proxy. What I mean is what they've done is they know the Constitution doesn't give the federal government power to do this. So what they do is they tell these municipalities, states, employers, etc., if you don't require, if you don't mandate this vaccine, you lose all the money, all the grants. Anything you get from the federal government, you will lose. The love of money is the root of all evil. And they're using money to suspend the Constitution.
Yep.
The reality, though, in addition to that, the Nuremberg Code does not just apply to experiments, according to the British Medical Journal and other authoritative sources. This is, again, a screenshot. British Medical Journal, number 7070, volume 313, page 1448, published December 7th, 1996. Introduction says, the judgment by the War Crimes Tribunal at Nuremberg laid down 10 standards to which physicians must conform when carrying out, here's the key word, experiments. And right now, that's all the COVID vaccine is experimental gene therapy on human subjects in a new code that is now accepted worldwide. And then it says, this code recognizes that doctors should avoid actions that injure human patients. That's why they're skewing the numbers and not admitting how many people are getting sick and dying from the vaccine. And then it says, the principles established by this code for medical practice now have been extended into general codes of medical ethics. In other words, this applies in medicine, period, not just experiments.
That's right.
This code is applied to all medicine, amen, not just experiments. And by the way, we repeatedly warn you that the following is the defining trait of apostasy and satanic control of your government and culture. When Jeremiah 9:5 said, and they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. That is your government. That is your culture in America today. Jeremiah 9:5. And we provide a link to download the Nuremberg Code with the British Medical Journal comments. If you go to bbfohio.com and you can type in PDF-downloads, or you can go to the banner and click on resources, click on PDF-downloads, and then find at the bottom of the list the Nuremberg Code download, and it'll download in a PDF format. And we want you to be informed. And there's another thing I didn't go into. Brother Jason sent me something. I got something from two or three other people. And there's this graphene oxide, I think it's called, that people are reporting and saying that that's the majority ingredient in the shot, or some sources are claiming it's 99% of what is in the shot. Kind of like the decon thing where 99.9% is just, you know, fiber, and then they put the 0.01% poison in, and that's what kills the rats. The reason I'm not going into that right now is because I am not saying I don't believe it, but I have no evidence one way or the other. I'm hearing people talk about these things, and they have other people talking about these things, and they say, like in Spain, there was supposed to have been a test, and they found this. But I can't find any evidence other than hearsay. And folks, we got to be careful. Don't just take anything you hear some or see on the internet and run with it. You got to ask, okay, based on what? Because we've been, you know, I think sometimes even the government itself puts out some of this information to cause confusion.
Yeah. Okay.
And you've got to make sure that the information you have is based on fact and not just somebody on the internet. And some, even some doctor or some research scientist, they've been wrong. They've led us astray many times over the years. And of course, some of you remember things like Jade Helm 15 and some of that stuff where they had everybody all upset over nothing. It was all baseless. And so, and they take a kernel of truth and then they make it into a lie. That's the problem. Luke 12, 13 to 21. Luke 12, 13 to 21, titling based on the text, Not Rich Toward God. Luke 12, 13 to 21. You read the odd verses with me, so jump right in there in verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Amen?
Amen.
So we begin with a hard break here after what we were talking about in the previous several messages. A change of subject because somebody comes up to Jesus and asks him a question. And that's in verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And I love how Jesus responds. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? I love that. Man. And at one time when Jesus is talking to his mom and he says, Woman. You know, I just love Jesus. I can't wait to, you know. He's not the fruitcake that a lot of people present him to be, but he's also not the stiff. You know, they make him look like he's just a stiff statue whose mouth moved. Come on, man. That's Joe Biden. That's not Jesus. So we won't go there. But, yeah. But I love this because I get this a lot. You know, Jesus didn't come to fix society. He didn't come to, straighten out everybody on every little thing this time. Now, that'll happen next time. But I, by the way, I get this a lot myself. And pastors, for example, are not financial advisors. I've had people come to me and ask about how to, invest or retirement plans and that kind of thing. And I can tell them, you know, I've heard good things about Dave Ramsey. I used to tell people, you know, they could listen to, what's the guy that, he's been dead for a number of years now. Now I forget his name, but The Coming Economic Earthquake. You remember that?
Yeah.
The fellow who wrote that book. But I even tell him, I don't know, he's not infallible, so, you know, check everything out. People come and say, you know, should I buy this house? I can't tell you whether to buy that house. Or this car, you know. And I'll be, you know, I'll say, well, I've owned a Honda and Toyota, and they've done really well. I hadn't had much good fortune from my ownership of Ford. And, you know, then other people, though, they have different experiences. You know, Mark will say, don't own a Dodge, you know. So, but I know people who own Dodge and they work fine. So, you know, that's something you're going to have to pray about and look into. And Jesus himself didn't come to deal with that kind of thing. But he uses this as a teachable moment. And so that's where we pick up in verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So he's telling this guy who's worried about the inheritance, you know, there's more important things. Don't get so caught up. You know, how many of you know, and of course in the Hollywood world, we know of many times where people die and then for the next 20 years, their family fight each other and hate each other and, you know, go to court and sue each other over the inheritance. Larry Burkett, that's it. Thank you, Pedro. Yeah, he's one I used to recommend to people. But anyway, what was I saying? There's more important things than that inheritance. And, you know, if it came right down to it, you know, I don't think you should just roll over for everybody all the time. You know, I'm not saying that. But people fight over trinkets in houses, you know. Things that aren't really worth much of anything. Folks, it's not worth ruining relationships, especially if it's an unsaved loved one. You kind of give a bad picture of Christianity when you're so stuck on a material item that's going to burn, and you're going to go to heaven and have streets of gold and a grand inheritance, and you're worried about this trinket to the point you'd ruin your relationship. You see what I'm saying? I think that's what Jesus is saying here. A lot of Christians will lose reward for this very reason, that they are so covetous for things that they put off God, they put off serving the Lord, they put off local church, they don't even attend because they're so busy working, and they put off their own families. Men who have children who hardly know them because they're just so covetous, they're always working to have more, 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 more. Going to be Christians who are going to stand there regretting the fact that they put such emphasis on things. Amen. And they don't give because they always want more for their own soul. I mean, a lot of times it's a fleshly hippo yawning. A lot of the fleshly, I got to stop it, you're going to get me doing it. That a lot of the things that people want is about the flesh. But, you know, it's really their soul is behind that desire. There's something wrong deep within the soul. So Jesus is going to teach a parable, which, as we read, certainly resembles the Ebenezer Scrooge in the Charles Dickens classic, A Christmas Carol. I mention that because I actually met a man who was so troubled at Randolph was his name, the guy who played Scrooge in one of the, George C. Scott. Yeah, the one he was in. And this guy had seen that. And listen, folks, I mean, God can use a lot of things, especially when somebody's had the Word of God planted and the gospel seeds planted. God will use a lot of things to wake people up. I've told stories about some of the things that really brought me under severe conviction over the last year of my life before I got saved. And we just talked about recently, Loretta Lynn went in. Standing room only. You ever hear that song? Go out and look that up and listen to the lyrics and put yourself in my shoes. I was unsaved and living like a fool and knew it in the back of my mind. And God used that to keep me up. Sleepless nights. Another time I'd gotten a fight. And I didn't start it. I was defending somebody. But the guy decided a good place to put his knee would be in my nose. And so for a couple of weeks, I had two black eyes and couldn't breathe out of my nose. But I had to work, so I went to work. And I was working at Kroger as a cashier. But once in a while, I'd go outside and get the carts just to get away. And I was out there getting the carts. And my grandma and Grandpa Miller come walking up to me. And my grandma looks at me and says, oh, Greg. She looked at me. I said, it's worse than it looks, Grandma. It's worse than it looks. And I just remember her saying, "Greg, I'm worried about your soul." And you have somebody say something like that to you that you love and respect, that just cut you. So in this case, this guy's sitting at home enjoying his Christmas ham or whatever, and turns on this George C. Scott version of the Dickens classic, A Christmas Carol. And this is the funny thing. I don't know the guy's name, or I'd tell you, but this years ago, but he gave his testimony. It was funny because he said that he thought that this was in the Bible. He was watching this movie and he thought it was based on the Bible. And one of the reasons he said, because Dickens wrote a book about Jesus. And in his mind, he remembered the Dickens book about Jesus and put kind of two to two together in his head. He thought this was something out of the New Testament. But God used it, that kept him up, and he eventually...